Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, fight fans, and welcome to this issue of Knuckle Up on Sports Action Network Radio. It's your host, George Bowley. And sitting in always, the editor at the MMA Corner and Scrap Fight Magazine, Mr. Josh Davis, who will be calling and joining us shortly. Took a couple weeks off. A few things happened, but we're back on the air now. And interested in talking about some fight talk, quite honestly. Looking for news and updates. We have two big events tonight, Bellator 162, and we have Glory 34 in Denver. So, looks like we're going to have a great night of fights, especially tonight, and some other news. You know, a lot of news coming out right now is talking about UFC 205 in New York, which is still developing, you know. So that should be some interesting news. And what's going on, brother?
You know, just enjoying a beautiful day here in Colorado, trying to deal with everything that is our world of MMA.
And kickboxing. Glory's over there tonight, huh?
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. And I guess I should have just thrown it out as combat sports. You know, in this day and age, I talk about kickboxing, and so many people don't understand that there is a difference. And so even myself, I've found that I've lumped everything up under the term MMA. But no, Glory Kickboxing, not to be confused with MMA, is in town tonight, and it is going to be an awesome event. I cannot wait. I'm stoked. I'm stoked. It's going to be a great night. It's going to be a good weekend.
Yeah, I mean, look, like I said, Glory has really blown my mind. You know, I wasn't around for the K1 days to see the live show, but, you know, Glory is the truth. They've actually really come out and put on, you know, a great set of shows, great set of fights, you know, and it's very live and entertaining with their two-part series that they have going on, you know. So it's interesting, really interesting.
It is, and I have to be honest, I'm a little spoiled because, you know, the great city of Denver is home to so many secrets. You know, people think, oh, Denver's just this little, you know, mountain town, little mountain farm town of all things out in the Midwest, middle of nowhere. And they fail to realize that, you know, Glory is based here, Access TV is based here. You know, so many of these things that we love are right here in my backyard. So, you know, I have to be honest, my radio station is right next to Glory headquarters. So, you know, like I said, I'm a little spoiled having them right in my backyard.
Yeah, man. You know, I can dig it. I can definitely dig it. What do you think about the news coming out of Bellator? Chael Sonnen, I think, is going to be fighting Tito Ortiz. Carrie Melendez is making her MMA debut. You know, Kevin Ferguson Jr. is supposed to be fighting tonight under the undercard, making his MMA debut. Baby Slice. Step in the right direction for Bellator?
You know, first off, I am so excited to see Mama Scrap Pack get in there and compete. You know, I've seen a bunch of videos on the stuff that she does in training, all that kind of stuff. I want to see her fight live. So I'm excited to see her fight. And for those of you who don't know, yes, that is Gilbert Melendez's wife. And so she is the mother of the Scrap Pack. Now, Chael and Tito, you know, I think it's an interesting fight. I think it's a fight that will do great with ratings. I just don't, you know that it's a fight that necessarily anyone cares about. But people will tune in to see it. And so I think Bellator absolutely made the right decision there. Now, Tito did not want this fight. You know, he doesn't think, Tito's pretty much done fighting, and he wanted to go out with a bang, and he doesn't think that Chael is that guy. So he didn't really want this fight, but Scott Coker talked him into taking it. So, yeah. And then as far as Kevin Ferguson Jr. Making his debut tonight, I'm really excited for this. I'm disappointed that he had to pull out of his last fight and his debut was prolonged and all that kind of stuff, but we're going to see it tonight. And one of the things that I really, really like about not only what he's doing, but what Bellator's doing, yes, he's the son of the man. Okay, that's a given, but they're not billing it as that. They're allowing him to be his own Slice, you know, or his own person. He's not Kimbo Slice Jr. They're not doing any of that kind of stuff. Yes, he's Kevin Ferguson Jr. He is the son of Kevin Ferguson, a.k.a. Kimbo Slice, but they're not pushing it as that. They're allowing this guy to build his own following off of his own accolades, which is awesome. You know, I think it's great because, again, a guy like Ryan Couture did not have that luxury. He was billed from the beginning as Randy Couture's son, you know, and again, when you do that, you don't allow a person to become their own person, their own fighter, all of that kind of stuff. And I think by Bellator not pushing the fact that he's Kimbo Slice's son, I think they're doing him great credit to give this kid wings so he can fly for himself.
Yeah, man, look, no doubt about it. I think that's the mistake that Strikeforce made, bringing Ryan Couture into the fold, you know, and doing what they did, how fast they did it. But they all had to take a breath. You know, Ryan Couture was an okay fighter, but he's a one-dimensional fighter, and he had a lot of growing that he has to do and still has to do. You know, he took a vicious knockout a couple fights ago, and who knows if he's recovered from that. You know, so, I mean, it's baby Slice coming in and doing what he's doing and how he's doing it. You know, it's a good thing. It's definitely a good thing. You know, we don't know if this guy's a real fighter yet or what kind of fighter he's going to be. You know, let's not forget his father actually came in with the hype of being a street fighter. And that's what Elite XC really promoted him as, was a street fighter. You know, so he had some real just street fighting skills. No MMA skills, but just a street fighter. You know, and that was evident, you know, when he got submitted. So, I mean, I'm sorry, when he got knocked out by a guy who was supposedly a nobody, you know, when it came to Seth Petruzzelli, you know. If that wasn't one of, I don't want to say one of the biggest upsets, but hype gone wrong, I don't know really what was, because the UFC was really banking on Kimbo winning and, you know what I mean, going through and doing something else. Then many people blame that fight as a fight that really bankrupted them and sent them on their way.
Well, and it did. It totally did. And you hit the nail on the head. It was not an upset. I mean, anyone who knew fighting, knew MMA, knew that Seth Petruzzelli had 9 out of 10 ways to win that fight. The only way he was going to lose that fight is if Kevin caught him with the punch to put his lights up. But Seth could outstrike Kevin. Seth could out-grapple Kevin. Seth could out-wrestle Kevin. Seth could out-submission Kevin. And so there was way more ways for Seth to win that fight. So, no, it wasn't an upset. What it was a hype train gone wrong, exactly the way that you put it. You know, Seth went in there and derailed the hype train, and it bankrupted them because they put millions and millions of dollars into the hype train. And once it got derailed, you know, you can't take a guy who's never won an MMA fight and gets essentially humiliated in his first major MMA bout. You can't continue to bill him as the future of MMA.
Yeah. You know, plus they had some bad luck. Plus, they had some bad financial practices, too. You know, when I heard unofficially the type of money that these guys were spending, you just sit there and shake your head with the, what are you thinking? You know what I mean? Like, I get it. You know, But the boxing promoter that they had doing this, I mean, at some point in time, they should have said, look, you know, you really don't know what you're doing or how you're doing it because MMA promotion doesn't work like this.
Yep.
But, hey, for every failed opportunity is a growth opportunity for somebody else. Without Elite XC going under, Scott Coker wouldn't have been able to buy out their TV contracts that really put Strikeforce on the map and made Strikeforce a contender in the United States for the number two promotion for a couple of years. You know, I don't care what anybody says. UFC was definitely sweating because Strikeforce was covering a type of ground that it took the UFC years to get to in a very short time. They made some mistakes with the Diaz brothers, putting them on live TV and the fight that happened. You know, funny, that's another fight that basically, I mean, that's another situation that basically derailed Strikeforce, you know, when it came to major TV promotion. But at least they did it. They got there. You know what I mean? They were able to do it. Until Fox came around, the UFC was never really able to put MMA on a major TV network. It was all cable.
Well, and again, we've talked about this numerous times. Anyone who says that Strikeforce wasn't a true competitor to the UFC, you're wrong. Look how quickly the UFC bought Strikeforce. They're not buying RFA. They're not buying Titan. They're not buying World Series of Fighting. They're not doing any of that stuff. They don't even care to buy Bellator. In fact, Dana laughs at Bellator, but they bought Strikeforce quickly. You know, they didn't allow Strikeforce to continue to build their run. They went ahead and bought them, just like they did with Pride, because they knew that it was competition, and what's the best way to defeat your competition? Eliminate them entirely, and that's what the UFC did. And so, no, in the 4 years that Strikeforce, or 5 years, whatever, that Strikeforce was really focused on MMA, they did unspeakable things. They did things that people didn't think that could be done, and absolutely, they did it well.
Yeah.
Now, yes,
you know,
they made some mistakes,
now,
but who
and UFC
hasn't?
Champions came from Strikeforce, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
President past
exactly.
Champions from the UFC came from Strikeforce. You know, so you can't deny the competition or say that there was anything subpar about it. You know, I mean, Daniel Cormier was on a tear until he met John Jones. You know, there's definitely something to say about that. Definitely something to say about that.
And look at a guy like Luke Rockhold, who was also on the tear until he met Luke Rockhold. And decided he didn't need to train or take anyone serious anymore. But it's not that that guy is not the best in the world, because he is.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Like you said, until he met Luke Rockhold. You know, I'd said it on the air, and I'll say it again. The way he was acting towards Michael Bisping, he deserved to get knocked out. He didn't take him seriously at all. You know, so the same thing happened with Verdum. You can't take fighters for granted when they're fighters. They're going to stand across from you and they're going to try to hit you. And there's no trick to it. There's no, oh, I can wish it, or I'm better. This is the punch and kick game, submission game, but mainly punching and kicking. And all it takes is one slip when you should have slided and get that chin touched, and it's all she wrote. It's all she wrote. Yeah. So training is training.
You know, and George, you're a world-class kickboxer, you're a world-class competitor. You know this as well as anyone, especially when it comes to fighting. It is 90% mental. And why is it 90% mental? Because you have to take your opponent seriously. And the moment you check out, it's lights out.
Yeah. You know, I was telling a friend of mine about my days in competition. You know, before I went to the World Championships and before I went to Nationals, even local tournaments and regional tournaments, I put myself through a 12-week, 10-week camp. You know, a lot of people would just show up, oh, there's a tournament here, I'm just going to hit sparring and do that and the third. But the reason why I trained is because it's still a competition. You still need to train for those reflexes. You still need to put yourself in that, you know what I mean? Put yourself in that mindset to know that a competition is coming. You know, it just doesn't happen. So, yeah, man. You always got to take it seriously. Even the guy you think that you should run through. Like I said, if that's the case, run through him. You know, like Conor McGregor. If Jose Aldo's so easy to beat, this should be the easiest payday ever. Easiest payday ever. Just show up and beat him. Beat him convincingly and knock him out. Move on to the next thing. But don't just say, oh, I can. Prove it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, little kids that I work with all the time related to jiu-jitsu, you know, they'll talk about, oh, that guy won the fight with a broken hand. He's, you know, so tough. And I, you know, explain to him, well, you know, toughness is pain tolerance, so on and so forth. But it's not physical toughness that won him that fight. It's mental toughness.
Mental toughness.
The fact that he was 90% mentally ready to go, ready to deal with that, that allowed him to win that fight. Because, again, if his brain was broken and didn't have that 90% mental, he's not throwing any punches, he's not doing anything, and he's going to lose. And so you always have to remember it's all about what you have upstairs, and everything else will follow suit.
Everything else will follow suit. And that's anything you want to do, a job, anything. It's all mental. It's all mental. 90% of it is showing up. But, yeah, I mean, 10% is you got to get down and you got to dig, and it's mental. And you have to get in it. If not, it's going to be a short game. But we see so many champions. I don't know if it's just the fact that they've become champions or it's the fact that they just step off the brakes, that they just don't perform well. The only people that we've seen in recent combat sports that really had something to protect was Floyd Mayweather, was his record. So he always took training seriously. Even if the fight was boring and all he did was just cover punch and cover block the whole fight, he was still fighting for something. So, you know, it's definitely going to be interesting. Definitely going to be interesting. Moving on, did we miss any news before we start talking about Bellator?
Well, you know, obviously there's the return of Ronda Rousey. It is official. She'll be headlining UFC 207, taking on Amanda Nunes for the bantamweight title. I mean, obviously that's huge and all that kind of stuff. But I got to be honest, and I want to be very clear about this. You know, everyone else has confirmed this but Ronda. And until, not only that I hear it, until I see Ronda show up for this fight, I got to be honest, I am going to be skeptical. We haven't seen her in a year. I have no idea what truly is going on in her head. She's passed up multiple title opportunities, multiple fight opportunities. I don't know. Until we actually see it, I'm going to be skeptical. But like I said, it has been announced. The UFC's confirmed it. That is the headliner for UFC 207. Also on that card, we have the rematch between Cain Velasquez and Fabricio Werdum. So we'll see how that goes. But there is some, you know, UFC news going on. Also, one of the things that we need to mention is the fact that WMEIMG, the new owners of the UFC, is laying off a minimum of 15% of the staff. You know, you and I had talked about this, that, you know, when ownership comes in, they lay off, they do all that kind of stuff. But the fact that they're laying off every executive truly lets you know that they are 100% going to take the UFC in a completely different direction than where it was headed before. So, I said it at the beginning, I'll reiterate it now. Over the next year, so over 2017, expect to see major, major changes within the UFC, and also expect to see major changes in where you can get UFC coverage.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see, because making your staff lean only tells you one thing. Somebody came in and they did a complete and utter forensic audit and just looked at all the overages and all the laps and said, hey, this is what it is. Now, these guys spent a boatload of money for this organization. So they should have known at some point in time that this was going to happen. This audit, you know, them getting in, seeing how the show works, seeing who does what, so forth and so on, you know. And were there bloated salaries? There must have been if they're laying off 15% of their workforce, and most of them are executives in some form or capacity. So, you know, do we know who's leaving? Well, let me guess. Maybe guys like Matt Hughes, who's the vice president of something, but we never really see him do anything. Don't see his name in anything. He's at events, but, you know, what does he really do? You know, could this be all of Dana's friends that he likes and just gave them jobs so they didn't go anyplace else that they're going to be laying off? Nobody knows, you know, to that capacity yet.
You know, when I see all the execs that they're letting go, obviously, you know, that's pretty common sense when it comes to a new acquisition. But I would be shocked, just to be real honest, because, again, the new ownership has no loyalty to anybody. Okay, they weren't there in the beginning. They, you know, they don't care what Forrest Griffin did. Okay, that they weren't there. They weren't suffering before Forrest. They don't, you know, none of that stuff means anything to them. So, you know, the fact that Forrest gets a nice $200,000 paycheck every month, no, that's done. These new guys aren't gonna do that because they don't care about Forrest. They're gonna toss Forrest to the side like a piece of dirt. Same thing with Matt Hughes,
Chuck Liddell. Like I said, Matt Hughes.
All of them.
You know, all these guys who have been on the payroll in some form or fashion but have no real function, you know, they're going to go by the wayside. Because you add it up, if you just add up those $200,000 salaries that they're paying these guys, that's at least $1 million a year, if not more. You know?
Oh, yeah.
A lot more, actually. You know, for no other reason. No other reason.
So
it's going to be interesting to see.
The Dana White Friend Club, as we'll call it, probably accounts for $10 million annually, if not more.
Right.
Now, one of the other things I think we should mention before we move on to anything else, I got wind of this. New ownership is canceling Cuff. They're not going to move forward with the Tough Series.
Why do you think that is?
You know, well, you know me, George. I asked directly, why is that? And I didn't get a firm answer other than the fact that I don't know that they're going to continue to be in the Fox business. And if that's the case, they don't want to continue to put money into production on something that they're going to have to completely rechange when they go to, oh, I don't know, ESPN or possibly HBO or Showtime. So I think that's what it has to do with more than anything else. But the politically correct answer that I got was they've done, you know, this is season 24, and look at the total number of fighters that they have gotten throughout all of the seasons. And outside of the first season, they have only a handful of superstars that, you know, have made it through to do anything. And so they say the amount of money that it costs to do the show versus the returns that they get on people paying to see fighters just isn't there.
Well, that's their fault. And the reason that their fault is because I know one of the executive producers who's done three seasons of the show. And the amount of waste that they have in place to do the show is crazy. Crazy. So them canceling the show, yeah, I get it. If it's just black and white numbers, I definitely get it. But that was their fault. That was their fault. And they never really stuck to one ideal or one program to keep generating these stars or giving them the ability to become superstars. You know, that's the whole purpose of doing a show. You see what I mean? They never did. They put so many shows in place so quick that, like everything else, fast media, this, that, and the third, people just forgot who he was. I can tell you right now, not too many people, even hardcore MMA fans, can tell you who the last five Ultimate Fighter winners have been from the last five seasons. Name them off.
Oh, my God, dude. Even I would have to sit and, you know, think truly hard who they were, you know.
Yeah.
And, no, that's... I would have a much easier time if you tell me the coaches. And then, all right, I know who won that season. But to just go back to the last 5 years, the initial person, all right, so I'm thinking, all right, Juliana Pena, when did she win it? Was it before or after 5 years? Because she would be my mark, and then I would just start going from there, and then I'd throw in Kelvin Gastelum. Okay, where was he at? And then I'd have to, but no, there's, no, I'd almost have an easier time naming American Idol winners.
Yes, you see what I mean? And that because that's because they super saturated the market and didn't think about changing anything, and they kept the same format. So, yeah, that's not a surprise to me. That's not a surprise to me at all. As a matter of fact, I heard rumors about that, you know, at the beginning of this year, late last year, that they're just not happy with it. That's why Dana White transitioned to looking for a fighter to see if that took traction or so forth and so on. But I'm interested to see what they're going to put in its place, because regardless of what people say, you still need some type of feeder system to keep people interested. If not, you know, they're going to have a big problem. The UFC is the name, but the UFC has done so many things to keep them relevant. And if they start unplugging those things and stop keeping people relevant, what's going to happen when the stars now start to get old and retire? You know, let's be honest. Kane only has a few fights left. Stipe may be able to carry it. The other guy, Kane, is just fighting Verdum. He only has a few fights left.
Yeah.
You know, Conor McGregor can't fight in heavyweight division. So how many fights is he going to fight a year? Ronda's done. So who are these new people that they're going to bring in that's going to carry the UFC for the next 5, 6, 7 years if they don't have an adequate feeding system? How's that going to work? So,
well, and
you know,
you throw out Conor. He has a major announcement following UFC 205. Who knows what that's going to be? He could be announcing that he's leaving the UFC and running his own promotion. We have no idea what words are going to come out of that guy's mouth. The UFC is where the UFC is right now based on a fundamental belief, okay? And that is, let fighters grow their skills on local circuits, and when they get good enough, we'll find them through whatever means and bring them to the UFC. Because, again, they were pulling talent before Tough. They were pulling talent before looking for a fighter. They know how to pull talent. However, new ownership has a different philosophy on how to grow the business. And so, you know, we talk unionization of fighters and all that kind of stuff. Well, the Fertittas were against it, but that doesn't necessarily mean that new ownership is against it. And let's just say they were on board with it and fighters unionized. Through their own unionization, they're going to come up with a developmental league for the UFC. I mean, there are so many different ways that they could move forward with this ship that will create the developmental league. We could end up seeing a UFC draft in the next 5 years. We have no idea what these guys are saying behind closed doors and how they plan on going about stuff. But what I will tell you is they're not going to do it the same way as the Fertittas did.
No doubt about it. All right, let's hold it right there and just look at the main event card. We have at Bellator, Ryan Couture versus Yamaguchi. Who do you have for that fight?
You know, I'm going to go with Ryan in this fight, but I got to be honest. I'm not confident. You know, not that I'm not confident in Ryan. I am. I think it's a beast. But he's hit or miss these days. This is a fight that he should win. But if he hasn't been training, if he hasn't been preparing the way that he should, and he comes in and lays an egg, he's going to get whooped again. So, you know, it truly depends on what Ryan Couture shows up. But, like I said, he should win this fight. He's who I'm picking. But until he puts, you know, 3, 4, 5 consistent performances, he doesn't even need to win everyone, but just put together that many consistent performances, I don't have a lot of confidence.
Okay. Bobby Lashley versus Jack Aplin.
I'm going with Lashley in this fight. You know, obviously I get to see a lot of Bobby and that kind of stuff. The guy's completely changed his life. He's, you know, 100% MMA. He is completely focused on becoming a killer, and if he can ever figure out how to provide his massive body with enough oxygen to keep his cardio going, he could be vicious, but he's always going to be fighting cardio. You know, he's never going to be able to go 100% because he is so big. He can only do that for so long, and he knows that he's got to be able to go 15, 25 minutes. So, yeah, until he figures that out, we're never going to see the best of Bobby. But like I said, he's completely changed his life. He's doing everything he needs to do to make this happen. So I am picking him to win this fight, convincingly, for that matter, too.
All right, 10 seconds left. We have Shlemenko versus Grove.
Shlemenko kills him.
All right, fight fans, there you have it. Don't forget, for this or new episodes, you can go to the Google Play Marketplace and download the free Sports Action Network mobile app. And for the latest MMA news and information, go to the MMA Corner. That's themmacorner.com. And check out the latest issue of Scrap Fight Magazine at scrapfightmag.com. I want to thank you for sitting in, partner, and everybody else, stay knuckled up, and we'll talk next week.
Your days at the newsstand are over. Scrap Fight Magazine brings all the world's mixed martial arts action to your computer with a click of a mouse. Read articles, interviews, and feature pieces from some of the world's most respected fight journalists, and get the lowdown on the biggest MMA events and fighters from across the globe. And because Scrap is digital, you'll have full access to the integrated audio and video segments. So subscribe now at www.scrapfightmag.com and get your scrap on.